4. Experiment is a pillar of the FWBO. We live in a changing world. The FWBO itself is changing, is developing all the time. Developing, we trust, in an organic manner. As members of the FWBO, we are confronted by changing conditions, changing situations all the time. We meet different people, even different kinds of people. We come in contact with different cultures, especially when the FWBO happens to spread to a new country. That is to say, a country where there was previously no FWBO presence. This may even happen when the FWBO spreads to a different part of the same country or to a different social group. And when that happens, we may find that the existing way of doing things in the FWBO is not quite appropriate to the new conditions. We may then have to adapt. We may then have to develop new approaches, new methods of presentation, new modes of communication. And in order to do this, we shall have to experiment. Otherwise, the FWBO may not succeed in establishing itself in the new environment and may not even survive in the old environment. But what do we mean by experiment? According again to the dictionary, an experiment is a test or investigation, especially one planned to provide evidence for or against a hypothesis. There are two points to note here. First, an experiment is something planned. In other words, an experiment has a definite purpose. It's not something done at random. It's the result of serious thinking, even serious study. It's not a matter of doing something in a whimsical, irresponsible sort of way, just to see what will happen. That's not an experiment. Second, in order to conduct an experiment, we need a hypothesis. We need in particular what's known as a working hypothesis. And once again, having recourse to the dictionary, a working hypothesis is a suggested explanation for a group of facts or phenomena accepted as a basis for further verification. Now, all this may seem rather abstract, especially in the middle of the afternoon. So let me give you one or two concrete examples. Suppose, well, just close your eyes if you like, and just imagine. Suppose there's an FWBO centre somewhere in Britain, maybe not very far away. Perhaps an FWBO centre in a new area, a new geographical area. And supposing that as part of its regular activities, this particular centre conducts pujas, devotional observances. But let's suppose very few people come to the pujas. Perhaps on some occasions, nobody comes at all. Or at least fewer people come than might reasonably be expected to come. So what do the order members running the centre do? I'm assuming, of course, that they're very, intelligent people. They study the situation carefully. That's the first thing they do. They study the situation carefully. They ascertain the facts of the case. Only too often we not only hypothesize, but even speculate without bothering to ascertain the facts of the case. So this is what they would do. They would ascertain, first of all, the facts of the case. And they'd make allowances for fortuitous circumstances. For instance, quite a lot of people may not have come to the pujas because on those particular days when pujas were held, it was raining. Now, I'm not saying anything about the weather in Manchester. Don't think that. But that's a fortuitous circumstance which has to be discounted. So, having ascertained the facts of the case and having made allowances for fortuitous circumstances, the order members concerned frame a hypothesis. Let us suppose that in this case the hypothesis is people don't come to pujas because they're not colourful enough. That is, the pujas are not colourful enough, not that the people are not colourful enough, because it can be that way round. People don't come to pujas because the pujas are not colourful enough. So they then proceed, these hypothetical order members at this hypothetical centre, then proceed to test or investigate their hypothesis. And they don't do it theoretically, that's only too easy to do, they do it practically. In other words, they carry out an experiment. And this experiment of theirs is planned. Let us suppose that they organise a whole series of much more colourful pujas. And in this way, they test their hypothesis. If more people attend and keep on attending, the hypothesis can be taken as verified. And much and more colourful pujas then become a permanent feature of that particular centre's activities. If more people don't attend, or even fewer people attend, the hypothesis is not verified. And the order members concerned have to think again. They have to frame another hypothesis. They have to conduct another experiment. Let me give you a further example, just very briefly. Supposing there's a meditation centre. And not many people come there on retreat. Order members concerned, again, may hypothesize that this may be due to the fact that there's not enough verbal instruction or explanation. And they may then proceed to carry out an experiment in the kind of way that I've just described. So we can now see that experiment, as one of the pillars of the FWBO, is a very serious matter. It's not something to be conducted in a frivolous or irresponsible sort of way. And nor is that all. Experiments should be properly monitored. That is to say, week by week, people should actually see what is going on. And records should be kept. How many people this week? How many people next week? And so on. Only then can real comparisons be made. Sometimes, I'm afraid, experiments are held, experiments roughly of this sort, at centres without any monitoring and without any records being kept. Such experiments, obviously, are quite useless. One is left with vague personal impressions which don't really help at all. So not only that, not only should all experiments be properly monitored, not only should records be kept, but the results of the experiments, negative or positive, hypothesis verified or not verified, should be communicated to the rest of the movement for its information through the suitable channels. There's a few more points also I'd like to make in this connection. That is to say, in connection with experiment as a pillar of the FWBO. Experiments should be made by a number of experienced people working together. This will normally mean that they'll be made by a number of order members. Experiments should be planned to test such hypotheses as are in accordance with the spirit of the movement. For instance, you can't test the hypothesis, well, would more people come to pujas if beer was served at the end, after the puja? You shouldn't test that hypothesis because it would be not in accordance with the spirit of the movement. Yeah? The hypotheses which are tested should also represent an organic development or application of the spirit of the movement. There must be, we may say, continuity between the old way of doing things and the new, not an abrupt hiatus or break. Experiments also should not be sprung on people, especially if they're accustomed to doing things in a particular way, and they're not necessarily looking for a new way of doing them. But in the case of a puja, for instance, if you attend or you sit down, you're expecting the sevenfold puja, you enjoy the sevenfold puja, it's very disconcerting, maybe even annoying, if someone suddenly starts leading you in a quite different sort of puja, which he or she may have thought up, as it were, overnight. Huh? So experiments shouldn't be sprung on people. And finally, and very importantly, one should not have recourse to experiment out of restlessness, or simply out of a desire for change. So, we may say, experiment, rightfully understood, is one of the pillars of the FWBO.